live from QED in Astoria, Queens, it's You Had to Be There with Dave Hill, Jim Peterman, and Jody Lennon.
I'm Dave Hill. Thank you. No, give yourselves a hand. Guys, stop. This is a new experiment that I've started with my friends, the lovely and talented Jim Peterman. And the lovely and talented Jody Lennon. And this is, I'll let Jim's sort of the brains behind the operation, so I'll let him take it from here and explain.
So, we've known Dave for a while.
Sure.
What we've realized is that he somehow, incredibly, has been around for some historically important moments.
A lot of
social moments. Almost like a creative midwife, if you will.
Well, I think I'm more of like a fluffer for creativity.
Like a creative fluffer midwife for history.
No, a fluffer for creativity.
A fluffer for creativity.
Know. Yeah.
And you're there. I mean, some people might call that a hanger-on.
That's not how I look at it.
And you're one of these people who are like the not the glue, but the
straw that stirs the drink. The right place, right time.
Right. Exactly.
Hanger-on.
Exactly. Some may say hanger-on.
Creative hanger-on.
Yeah. Okay. But now, in the past, we've talked about your involvement with CBGBs, which you originally thought of as a wedding banquet.
Yeah. It was a place. Yeah, if anyone was here last time, we talked about that. It was a place to get fun appetizers and stuff, family-friendly meals that wouldn't break the bank.
Right.
That was the original idea.
By the way, good idea. A very good idea.
And it was going to open in Newark.
So what we thought this week, because, I mean, those are kind of monumental pieces of...
You've been peppering time.
Right.
Yeah.
A fine seasoning.
Right.
THYM? Peppering time.
That's right. You've been peppering in time.
Time, yeah.
I always think, hear me out on this. Okay. I always think it'd be great to get a delivery, get a job as a delivery man for a spice company, a spice concern.
Sure.
And when you show up to deliver the spices, you say, where does the time go? That's bonus content. That is not anything I've come here to talk about at all. That was just playing a little t-ball, getting a little loose before that. But this show hasn't even started.
It hasn't started.
Bonus content.
But this week, what we thought is that you, because we were talking backstage about this, you had a bit of a gap year.
I did.
It was the early 76.
76,
it's
yeah.
New York.
New in town.
You're new in town.
Not to the East Coast, but new in town.
Don't even know what that means.
It'll become clear later.
Okay.
Around 8:15.
Now you're new in town, but not new to the East Coast.
No.
What's going on?
It's a bicentennial.
It is the bicentennial.
Yeah, everyone had. I would always have my Uncle Sam costume at the ready. Was the joke back then? Always.
Did you use a cane to? Would you have that? Like just that bent cane.
It was either cane. Sometimes I did stilts, and this was just for errands.
Right.
It was people were caught up. If you remember, if you were around at the time, it was a lot of bicentennial excitement.
Right.
Everybody was wearing red, white, and blue.
From about 74 to 83, it was bicentennial fever.
Everyone was just caught up in it.
Did you have the kind of flag hot pants?
Yeah. I mean, that's basic, Uncle Sam.
You
got to have the flag hot pants.
Yeah. So it's 76. It's the bicentennial. You're alternating between canes and stilts.
Were you eating foot-long hot dogs?
Yeah, we did the foot-long hot dogs.
With a foot-long bun?
I loved it. I loved an elephant ear. Yeah, foot-long bun. don't get me around. The joke back then was don't leave your circus peanuts out if Dave's around. And I don't. And by circus peanuts, I mean cocaine, because this was coming. We had euphemisms for everything sure. back then.
It was a different time.
Yeah, you had to speak in sort of a code.
It was a different time.
It was a different time.
But you, I find this absolutely fascinating. You were working as a waiter.
I was working,
at the Hojo, Howard Johnson's in Times Square.
I had gotten a job at Howard Johnson's mm-hmm. in Times Square. This would have been about 70s, and I was, you know, there will be people that will tell you differently, but I was really good at my job. and it was very, you know, it's Times Square, and so it was, we did a brisk business, and there'd be a lot of tourists coming through, and you would always
What kind of business?
A brisk business. Oh. Like a lot of turnover. Tables are very competitive. And so I would do this
kind
thing.
Kind of doggy dog.
Yeah. You had to do a thing to stand out. This is where the singing waiter thing came from, which I didn't do. My thing was, especially if it was my sense that someone had not been to Howard Johnson's yet, if they were from out of town, if they were tourists or whatever, I'd sit them down and I'd get them a table and I'd say, "Welcome to New York City. I'm the Statue of Liberty." Right? Hear me out. And so what I would do is then I would take a bottle of ketchup off the table and I would say, "I'm the Statue of Liberty." And my right hand would go up and I would hold the Statue of Liberty. And sometimes it would be the flame, and sometimes I would leave the cap off as sort of an extra gag and there'd be ketchup coming down not always. And then with my other arm, I would hold up the menus, and that would be the Statue of Liberty. Yeah. What I don't know, what does the Statue of Liberty have? The Bible? No one knows. No one knows what. But anyway, so when I, my, the one hand, the right arm would go up, and the left would hold the stack of menus I was about to hand out to the table of people. And yeah, it was enough. Oh, no. But before I did any of this, I would always undo my pants. And so when the hands would go up, the pants would hit the floor. 9 times out of 9, a big laugh. Yeah. You get a big chart. And then you'd have to read the room, you know, depending on who was sitting at the table. You say,
sure.
You know, "Do you have a bun for this?" or whatever. Or you cover up quickly, depending on who, you know, if it was the right. Anyway, this is how I... You work for tips. You work
right.
for tips.
It was a more whimsical time.
It was I need to say this. Yeah, this is 1976, and this was... You wouldn't do this today.
No.
But in 76, it would have been weird not to. Yeah.
So I'm not even sure...
I had no idea.
I'm not even sure by 77 you'd be doing it.
The terms of my parole was I definitely wasn't doing it. But...
I'm sensing a little tension with management at the Hojo.
Okay, so basically, and by the way, everyone loved it. All the regulars, Joe Franklin loved it. Everyone that passed through the place on the regular would be like, "Where's the Statue of Liberty guy?"
Yeah.
And but one day I did this. You know, there's a group, I don't know, Jehovah Witnesses or whatever that came through. Didn't take a shine to my Statue of Liberty thing, and I was out of my ass as quickly as I'd only been there for a month because I'd been fired from a previous job.
What was that job?
And
what was that job?
It was I was working sort of like as a handyman for this weird mother and daughter out in East Hampton. They were, this eccentric mother-daughter that had this place way out in East Hampton that was a wreck. And I did
what
my best
their,
to
what,
keep...
Do, what were their names?
I can't remember. Ellen or... I don't remember.
Was it Edie?
It may have been, Edie.
Did they both have the name Edie?
They had the same name. I do remember that. I don't know whether it was Edie or not.
A big old mansion.
It was huge.
Raccoons around?
There were raccoons. but that did not work out at all.
That was a movie. That was a documentary about the...
It
was called Grey Gardens.
It doesn't sound familiar, but I
just think you're mixing
No, that was what happened before I went to Howard Johnson. So okay. I got fired from Howard Johnson's. Now this, you know, I'm a single man living in New York City. I am paying rent on a 37th floor walk up, four bedroom walk up on West 57th Street, and at the time, you know, it cost about $48 a month, which is a lot of money.
It's 37 floor walk up.
37 floor walk up, four bedroom. Yeah.
It's a big apartment.
Yeah, it was a big apartment, but yeah. I kept that's where I kept my animatronic band that I had at the time. I needed room to store.
Just
a couple details.
Yeah,
about
so
your band.
Just so everyone who wasn't here last week,
I don't want to.
Part of the CBGB's
was
thing,
referenced.
Is that you had an animatronic band that was for birthday parties.
It
was
primarily sort of like woodland creatures.
Like a Chuck E. Cheese.
Woodland creatures.
What became Chuck E. Cheese?
And we did sort of, I played a banjo and I had like the cymbals between, and it was sort of a gay 90s, I had the hat and I had the vest and the armband, and we would sing sort of like.
Did you have a visor?
No. I had like a hat with the band. Uh-huh. And sure. You know, and we had all sorts of hits at the time. And there was a woodchuck who would I would trigger all these things. And there was a woodchuck that sang the high parts, which
I had
pre-recorded. And then there was every so often there would be an owl that would chime in and go, and daddy sing bass. Anyway, while we're going up, we're not going to rehash. The past.
No.
But that took up probably one of the
four. By the way,
that
is what we're doing.
That took up. We are actually rehashing the past. We don't want to rehash.
So you're working
the last
as a handyman.
Anyway, that's where I kept the
band. Okay, so you're working with as a handyman out at way out in Long Island.
Way East Hampton. It was way out there.
Like up, was it like near like Georgica Pond or someplace like that, or
it was the Ronkonkoma stop. I think. Sure. I don't know. May not have been the Ronkonkoma
stop. You leave there. You end up at.
I know I had a hell of a walk from the Ronkonkoma stop to East Hampton. That's what I remember. There was a thing where I was supposed to transfer at Babylon, and I didn't. Just out of laziness, it would be quite a walk.
So you're working at this mansion out in Long Island.
No, but that was before. Then at Howard Johnson's.
You get a job. You come to the big city. You get a job at Hojo's in Times Square.
That's exactly right.
You're doing the Statue of Liberty bit.
Yeah. Damn right. Yeah.
Pants are falling down.
Pants are falling
nine
down.
Nine out of nine people like it.
Until they didn't.
Some Jehovah's Witness.
Until they didn't.
Okay.
But so I'm leaving. You know, I'm thinking, how am I going to make ends meet? And I walk out, and one of my regular customers, this guy, Andy, very pale guy with sort of silvery, wispy hair.
Right.
An eccentric, they call him.
I'm sorry, he's what?
He was an eccentric.
He was an eccentric.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
He came in. And he was, I did not know much about him other than he was the only guy... brave enough to order the lobster
at Howard Johnson's.
Never order the lobster at a diner. It's a lot. You don't want to get.
Yeah, it's a risky move.
It's a risky move, and I would even see as a regular customer. I'd say, I don't think you should order the lobster. I would say, and you know, I don't think it's that fresh, and this is a very. Andy would say, well, when is it from? And I said, the lobster just—it's been here since the Truman administration. and he would order it anyway. We would have that exact conversation
every single time.
We banter, and then Statue of Liberty, and then and by the way, no one likes Statue of Liberty more than Andy.
Guy, yeah.
So I'm leaving. The restaurant, he's coming in, and I tell him I've been fired, and he says, well, you should come work at the factory. And I'm not much for manual.
Wait, whoa.
Yeah.
So, Andy, this guy Andy, is...
Yes.
It's not Andy Warhol, is it?
Well, yeah, I always thought of it. Lobster Tail Andy is what I called him. But yeah, it was Andy Warhol.
And he invites you to come down and work at the Fame Factory.
The factory, yeah. And I was not much for manual labor. So I wasn't...
So at first you probably thought, fuck no.
No thanks. Yeah. No thanks. Right. No. And it was just a few blocks from here.
Right.
The factory.
Right.
Yeah.
Only it not here. But yeah.
Pretty sure it was right near here.
No.
In Queens?
No. Yeah, you're confusing that with the Supreme Court that was behind the nail parlor. That right around the corner.
They're so similar.
No, there's been a lot of like sort of redistricting stuff. Anyway, it's not important. So
because parts of Queens used to be in Manhattan.
That's right.
Yeah, and look
there
it
was,
up.
And also then, so it was a zoning issue is what you're saying.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what I'm saying.
So you get a job with this Andy fella.
Yeah.
At his place called The Factory.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. At his factory. And pretty, the initial job was I just was paid to stand around and smoke for the first few weeks. Yeah. And I didn't even smoke.
Man.
But,
times have changed.
Yeah, and there would be parties. There would be crazy parties with all the biggest names of the time. Gene Shalit.
A fucking party animal.
Jimmy Walker.
Another fucking party.
A young Meredith Baxter Burney was there.
I'm sorry, how did you survive? Like, I mean, this is a crazy party scene. Gene Shalit.
I was a young
Meredith Baxter Burney.
Well, we would, I would, you know, and I would be paid to, I would, a lot of times I would dance around, and I painted myself.
How'd painted you paint myself. Yourself, I, Dave?
Well, you learn the hard way. a lot of times when you just paint yourself with like a Benjamin Moore or like a Pratt and Lambert straight out of the hardware store.
Sure.
Paint. If you
off
do
the
that,
shelf.
What
off
I didn't
shelf.
Know is it seals up your pores and you have minutes to live. Yeah.
It's Goldfinger.
Yeah, yeah.
You almost Goldfingered yourself.
Yeah, yeah. It's very awful. So I was rushed to the emergency room. The first, I was seven or eight parties. You wake up, believe me. When you wake up with Gene Shalit inches from your mouth, you take a good hard look
mustache.
At your life.
Hair, that big thicket of that thicket mm-hmm. of yeah. like a Brillo pad coming
yeah.
at you.
Like
so we would, yeah, but this is the crowd that I was running with. It was Gene Shalit.
So it's a fast crowd.
Yeah.
Jimmy Walker.
No judgment.
Joel
Everything
Gray,
was beautiful. Joel Gray.
Debbie Reynolds. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We would go.
Wait, sorry, Debbie Reynolds?
Debbie Reynolds.
All right, I just wanted to clarify.
A young Felicia Rashad. young George Stephanopoulos, which doesn't even make sense.
He's 15.
Yeah, he was there quite a bit. And
okay, so you've been rushed to the hospital.
Is Christy McNichol there or Scott Baio?
Jimmy McNichol and Christy McNichol.
Oh my God, I love the McNichols.
You would never see them at the same time though.
Oh, really?
Not at once. And so yeah, we would go and then there'd be parties. We'd have lunch at Tavern on the Green every day, mm-hmm. 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. Andy would insist you get the soup and salad.
Yeah.
And
now around this time, Andy. You said that, and this is the part that just.
Yeah. Well, what happened?
Andy gets a dog.
Yeah,
he got
Andy,
a dog.
He got a dog. He had a dog, a dachshund, named Archie, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so I got into the dog walking, game.
Okay, so you're saying sayonara to the fast life of the factory.
No, I would still go to the parties, but eventually became more and. You know the old saying, never try to tire out a dachshund. Yeah, yeah. The old
I've
saying,
never heard that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You walk these things for miles. I would just be walking this thing like hours every day, this
sure.
dachshund around
sure.
around town, trying to tire out this little guy.
And, never tire out a dachshund.
No, you can't. And so, but eventually, being 1976, I would only be paid like, you know, 75 cents a walk, and
oh
you know,
my
take
not
an
even
hour.
An hour.
No,
just a walk.
A walk,
and this dog's making you walk for hours.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not a good idea.
No, no. So eventually, but you know, to make, you know, my rent, I started taking on some more customers, and I took on I found a dog owner in Yonkers. Which is not convenient at all.
No, that's a distance.
The more I think about it.
Right. You were in Union Square.
Yeah,
no, but Andy's living on the Upper East Side. So you're walking
I'm pretty sure it was Queens.
Queens?
But, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty sure Andy was in Queens. And and I would walk Archie around. And then I got a dog in Yonkers, which was sort of a mutt, like a lab hound mix named Harvey. And Harvey was, his owner was named Sam. And I would walk this dog all the time, over the place,
right.
All up and down Yonkers. And I, this is when I struck up a friend, and I'd be so exhausted by the time I got up there. That I would, you know, start hanging around the building quite a bit. And that's when I met their neighbor, this guy, David Berkowitz. And, yeah. And he was, yeah, he lived.
Hey, hang on.
Oh,
so are you bringing Archie up? Are you, like double dipping, I guess?
Sometimes I would walk, Archie up to Yonkers.
Sure.
From Queens.
From Queens.
Pick up Harvey.
Right.
And then walk the two of them.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
So it was, so you know, it was frowned upon.
And then hang out with this David Berkowitz guy.
Yeah, the neighbor.
Yeah.
Who sometimes let me in and out of the apartment.
Right.
And he was a weird one, mm-hmm. David Berkowitz. And he was also responsible because Sam, the owner of Harvey, was rarely around. So
sure.
I would be. Sam would always be like, well, when it comes payday, I just ask David Berkowitz for the money. And mm-hmm. And I would ask him, and he would never be around. And then he started leaving me these notes like, you're never going to get this money. You're never, you know, the city is a sewer full of piss. And
uh-huh.
just these weird notes explaining why I wasn't going to be paid for walking the dog.
A little aggressive.
Yeah, and they'd be out like written in these weird things. And that was, yeah, it was very strange.
You know,
I didn't make any sense.
You know who this David Berkowitz guy is, right?
I mean, yeah, no, he's the guy that lives next door to the dog.
It sounds as if, and I don't want to jump to conclusions, but David Berkowitz is probably one of the more famous serial killers.
This does not, no. I don't think. What do you mean?
It's true.
Yeah. I mean, he was the son of Sam.
Right.
No, your facts. Sam did not have a son. Sam had a dog named Harvey. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
No, I understand that.
You need to listen to the story.
No, I am listening to the story. I'm saying son of Sam. As it
no,
went.
Son
of Sam
what
was,
I'm telling you, Sam had a dog named
right.
Harvey.
No,
Sam did not have a son.
No, I know, but David Berkowitz was the neighbor.
No. David is the neighbor of Sam.
I get that. What I'm saying is that David...
There's the dog of Sam and there's the neighbor of Sam, which is David Berkowitz.
I understand. I get that. I understand the geography of this story.
No, you don't, because they're in Yonkers.
Yeah,
that
I,
has
no,
nothing
I get it.
To do... With the relationships I'm trying to define for you, David Berkowitz is the neighbor of Sam.
Right, right, right. Sam has a dog.
Yeah, that's
right?
Harvey.
Right. David Berkowitz...
Is the neighbor of Sam.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
He thinks the dog is...
Sam's dog.
Yeah, no, but his son... He thinks it's Sam's son. David Berkowitz is a serial killer. He's crazy. He's writing you these letters, right?
Just about how I wasn't getting paid for walking Harvey. It was like a tease. He's like, I'll never be around to pay you for Thursday's walk. That sort of mocking thing.
Okay, what was your take on it? I mean, this Berkowitz guy.
Well, you're suggesting he killed a lot of people.
I'm not suggesting. He did kill
a lot of people. He did. He killed people.
Well, he did talk about killing people all the time, but he was one of those guys. You know how some people you don't know you can't ever tell when they're being serious. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Like, you know, and say,
if
you
someone
don't,
says to me, I'm going to go kill people, I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't tell, like, whether they're joking or not.
Sure.
He was one of these people where you're always like, I don't know if he's joking.
Right. Well, what would he joke about?
He would say, I'm going to kill some people. Yeah. Yeah, that was the exact sort of thing.
Okay, so
He talked about it all the time.
Yeah.
He was never, ever not talking about killing people.
Right. There's another part of this story, and that's Harvey the dog. Okay.
Harvey is the dog that I walked.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
David Berkowitz felt that the dog was talking to him and telling him.
The dog did talk. He would do. You ever watch this? Yeah.
No, like really talk? Or
no, you know, you ever watch those like those YouTube videos where the dog's like, well, I love you.
Yeah.
Those are
funny.
Did all that stuff.
Those are
like,
right.
I love
you.
Dave!
Yeah.
Kill someone.
Well, there was, it was sort of that, you know, that was the sort of talking that
well,
that he
felt that Harvey, who he dubbed the son of Sam, even though it's Sam's
dog. No, the dog's name is Harvey.
Okay, well, the point is, David Berkowitz felt that the dog was telling him to do these horrible things. And you're arguing with the guy about getting paid.
Well, that was my job.
No, I'm just
walking the dogs. Okay.
We're so lucky that Archie didn't say anything to David Berkowitz.
Right.
That too. I mean, clearly, based on this scenario,
no, there were a few times
Archie probably met David.
Right. David Berkowitz?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh yeah, because David used to come to the parties all the time.
Wait,
Gene Shalit, David Berkowitz. Yeah.
Okay, so you're walking the door. You're walking.
David Bernie.
Meredith oh, because Baxter he was married. Yeah.
No. They had not met at this time.
Oh,
they had not met yet.
All right.
Oh. To watch those two fall in love. Just to be a fly on the wall and watch those two fall in love.
I hear you.
Dick Van Patten was around quite a bit.
Oh.
A young Willie Ames.
Sure. By the way, I only remember him as being a young Willie Ames. I don't know of him.
Well, trust me, he's not looking good today.
No? I knew New York was a dangerous time.
No, it was crazy because at the time, I had a friend named Gabe who taught high school.
Did he look like Gene Shalit?
Yeah, look a lot like.
He looked a little bit like Gene Shalit. He taught high school out in Brooklyn, and the stories he would tell me from this time were. It was crazy.
I'm sure.
Just riding out. So I know.
He probably taught sweat hogs. Did he teach sweat hogs? Okay. So you're walking Harvey.
Walking the dogs.
Which, son of Sam's dog.
Mm-hmm.
And Archie.
And Archie, who's Andy Warhol's dog. I have a question. Did the dogs get along?
They did not get along. There was a lot of humping involved. Yeah.
You're going from Queens to Yonkers, walking these dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Not
to mention stopping in between for band practice.
Right.
With my apartment. Daddy Sing Bass.
Oh, right.
Yeah, the band.
Sure, I forgot about that. You have to practice with an animatronic band?
Yeah, to get the cues right. Because otherwise the owl is always coming in at the wrong time.
But isn't that your fault, not the owl's fault?
Well, that's with the practice. You can't just... Gotta know when to hit the owl.
Right, I'm sure there's a delay or something.
Yeah.
All right, so you're walking.
Because these things weren't regulated back then.
Wait, what wasn't regulated?
Animatronics.
Oh. Is there a government agency?
Now they're all regulated.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're walking Harvey. You're walking Archie. At some point. And you're walking them a very great distance from each other's homes.
Well, from Yonkers to Queens, and then you'd pick up Harvey in Yonkers. You'd walk all the way back to get Archie, and then you walk back to Yonkers to drop off Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
blood everywhere at this point. In the apartment building.
Okay. And you're not suspicious of this at all. There's nothing.
No, he said it was, David Berkowitz just said it was the toaster. Faulty.
The toaster.
I did something that's toaster oven.
They were different then, toasters in the 70s.
Yeah, they weren't. Well, they weren't regulated.
Right.
Yeah.
The slot was larger.
Yeah. Apparently, they were powered by blood.
It was just different.
It was different.
Shower heads were different.
Sure.
Sneakers were different.
Yeah, it was normal.
Cars were different.
It was normal for families to... You would lose a child just making toast. It was common.
There weren't babysitters back then. Sometimes a toaster was the babysitter.
Correct.
Yeah, this is all very common.
Right.
Everything you're talking about.
So you would return. There'd be blood everywhere. You drop Harvey off. You then walk Archie back to Queens, where Andy Warhol lived.
Okay. But this is when I started to get suspicious.
About what?
David Berkowitz never ate toast. there was no toaster.
And that's the Howard Johnson waiter in you.
Yeah, that's right.
Doing detective work.
Right. That's exactly right.
Because always be suspicious of people who don't order toast.
That's a basic.
It's delicious.
Yeah. It is, yeah. Sometimes I'll order the toast and not even eat the toast.
Exactly, because you're not an animal.
Or you can offer the toast to someone else.
That's right, because that's what you do.
Yeah, that's exactly
it's
right.
A bicentennial year. You're not going to be unpatriotic.
Right.
Patriotic toast?
I mean, it would be un-American to have toast.
This is true. What is marble toast?
It's marble bread toasted.
But no one ever talks about marble bread. It's always...
It's true.
You know what I mean?
It's true. Meant to be toasted.
Yeah.
Only.
All right, what was your question?
My question is, so I didn't have a question. You mentioned that you started getting suspicious.
I started to get suspicious.
Because he never ate toast and there was no toaster in the place.
Yeah.
And he's telling you it's the toaster.
That's exactly right.
Right, so what do you do?
I just asked for I wasn't getting paid for my dog walks at this point. If you're trying to make a connection between the murders, I'm not seeing it. Honestly,
I'm not trying to make a connection.
I wasn't suspicious that he was murdered. I was, but it was not. I just wasn't buying the toaster story.
All right. So you drop off Harvey. You take Archie back to Queens, where Andy Warhol's living.
Was Andy prompt with his payments?
He paid me in cocaine. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It was just one long payment. There's a lot of cocaine.
I know. Yeah. It's a running theme.
Felicia Rashad and I would make cocaine sandwiches. I hate to expose her in this way.
What's it? I'm going to ask. What's a cocaine sandwich?
Jean Shalit would get a loaf of marble bread. I mean, yeah, we would proceed to make sandwiches out of it. Yeah. The first few are hard to get down. By the time you're on that fourth cocaine sandwich, that's the best sandwich you've ever had.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's talk about that for a minute, because cocaine's a big part of your life.
Of my life, yeah. To this day, to be fair.
No, Andy's going to Max's Kansas City. He's going to Studio 54. You know, he's going to all the pyramids.
Pizzeria Uno.
Yeah. Are you... tagging along with the dog?
I went to all the places, with the dog. I would paint myself again. Dance around a little bit.
Right. Do you have clothes on or no?
Not a stitch.
Okay.
Not a stitch. Right. And I would dance around. I would pass out. By then, the gag was that I would pass out. Even though we had figured
it
out.
Had you not realized that it was the paint that was causing you to...
No, by then I had swapped out the paint.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But believe me, you wake up enough times in the ER with Gene Shalit, you figure out what's wrong with you. Yeah. I was at Studio 54. I was naked, painted, dancing on. I'd be
and
a
so what was it?
Kansas
like a gurney? Ambulance guys would come in, paramedics would come in with a gurney and carry the body out? Is that how it would be?
Yeah, it was like sort of like a Keystone Cops sort of thing. They would get me, run me outside.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you were fine. You, they would let you go.
Yeah, yeah. And they, and then I would, you know, it would be me, Gene Shalit. And it was usually just me, Gene Shalit, and Gene Shalit's friends, if I'm honest.
It was just you three, mostly, right?
Yeah. A young Meredith Baxter Bergen.
Sherman Hemsley.
Sure.
Sometimes.
How did it run its course?
I got fired. I got let go.
From who? By who?
Yeah. Sam or Andy?
Andy let me go first, yeah. And then
why?
Sam, was there a falling out, or it sounded like you took good care of Archie.
What happened was I went back to Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
Painted myself up in sort of a, what is it called, a patina?
Yes.
A shine, yeah.
And I got a milk crate, and I said, welcome to New York City. I'm the Statue of Liberty. Full circle.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Wow.
Don't applaud that.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Do you get a percentage of the ones that exist now? How does that work?
Just the steampunk guys. I do get a percentage of their... Yeah.
So you got fired by a mother and daughter who lived on Long Island.
Yeah.
Because you used to throw your keys down from the 37th floor to let people in the front
That's
door, right?
That's right. I remember that. So you get some kind of another dog walking job on the side, which happens to be the son of Sam Dog.
I'm not really sure what you're talking about.
Well, we're just going to go with that. We'll go with that.
David Berkowitz hurt a lot of people's feelings.
Yeah.
I'll own up to that. Yeah, yeah.
But how so specifically?
Well, with the notes. The notes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Those hurt a lot of feelings.
Those could be taken the wrong way.
They were a little aggressive. They were a little aggressive. Yeah. So you are, but then you get fired from Andy's job, dog. But now you're still walking Harvey.
Still walking Harvey.
All right.
Harvey is Sam's dog.
Yes.
The dog of Sam.
Sure.
David is the neighbor of Sam.
I get all this. What are you saying? So did you get fired from that job or?
Well, what happened is David Berkowitz used to let me into the apartment to get the dog, and he weirdly got sent to prison for life.
Huh.
Yeah.
Couldn't be, because would you remember what for? Or?
Did you see the cover of a Village Voice or New York Post or New York Times or Time Daily Magazine News?
This doesn't sound familiar. This doesn't sound familiar.
Would you remember what he got arrested for?
I think he killed a lot of people.
Yeah, that's right.
He killed them, but not the people that you're talking about. Okay. It's totally separate.
Right.
Yeah.
So what happens? You get fired from this job?
Yeah, and I formed a street gang.
What were you called?
The Warriors.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What did your gang look like?
We had, we wore red satin jackets, and we wore like red berets, and we rode the subways, and we kept people safe.
Yeah.
Yep.
And was there a guy named Curtis in your gang?
That doesn't sound familiar. My thinking was to form like sort of a, because my friend Gabe, the teacher in Brooklyn, had told me about how unsafe the trains were and stuff. So I was like, why don't we form a group that sort of takes things into their own hands and protects the citizens in New York.
Yeah.
And that was
kind of a vigilante.
That was your idea.
Yeah.
And you decided, why the red? Why the berets? Why the satin jacket?
I got a great deal on all that stuff in the garment district. Yeah, I had actually wanted them to be like a, more of a teal. And that was, yeah, but I got a great deal on the red, and yeah.
So is it a franchise? Is that how it works?
No.
No?
They changed their name to the Guardian Angels.
Uh-huh.
What was the original name?
The Warriors.
So it went from the Warriors to the Guardian Angels.
Yeah, but that's after I left.
And then was a guy named Curtis involved? Was there a handing off or a jumping in?
Doesn't sound familiar.
Had you gotten fired from the group? Is that how?
Yeah, it sounds like there was a falling out of some sort, or a really bad
gap year for you.
There was this gag that I used to pull, where I would say, "Put up your hands," like like this, after we'd stop, like an assailant or whatever, and I would put your hands in the air.
No, you.
And I would do it. Okay. I would do it. I would say, put up your hands in the air. But what I left out is before I would do that, I would undo my pants, and my pants would hit the subway floor.
Uh-huh. Why was it a friend of mine?
Was it 1977? Was it at the cusp of 76 to 77 when all of a sudden that wasn't so cool?
Yeah, it wasn't acceptable anymore. And it was, you know, when you get on the train around 3 o'clock and it's all those school kids and they're being loud and unruly. Never get on the train at 3 in the afternoon.
That's the worst time.
The main reason is the kids. The other reason is if you drop your pants at 3 in the afternoon on the train, everyone has a problem with it. I learned the hard way.
Even back then?
Yeah, back then. And even, you know, if I'm honest, a week ago, it still is. Yeah. Still not okay.
So you're repeating these patterns, these kind of bad patterns that are getting you in trouble. You're also denying that David Berkowitz killed a bunch of people, but that's okay. We're going to leave that aside. Mm-hmm. I got to imagine at some point in this period of your life, you wake up one morning and say, fuck.
You're on West 57th Street.
You're 34 floor walk up.
You've got 4 bedrooms. You're just roaming around.
And no income to pay for it.
That's where you're wrong.
Oh, right.
Well, what were you doing for money?
And Dirty Sing Bass. Oh! I have the band. Still have the band.
The band.
Yeah.
What was the name of the band?
The Fun Time Guys.
The Fun Time Guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a family-friendly animatronic band. And Eat Up Her Grandma or We'll Beat You Silly was one. You know, we had a lot of hits.
Sorry, what was it called?
Eat Up Her Grandma or We'll Beat You Silly. Which was followed up by another Eat Up Her Grandma, We'll Beat You Within an Inch of Your Life.
Are you performing these at, is this like a dinner theater thing? Or?
We didn't get a lot of bookings, I gotta be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was mostly in Times Square.
I'm sure people have some questions about your fucked up gap year.
All right. All right, yeah. Let's.
Does anyone have any questions?
During your gap year, were you able to travel within the U.S. at all?
I was allowed to go to Yonkers. In East Hampton. At first. And then it was just Yonkers.
It sounds like a parole situation. Was it a parole situation? You were allowed to go to Yonkers.
Yeah, it wasn't not a parole situation.
Okay. Any other questions for the gap year?
Sorry? Did you end up in any of Warhol's paintings?
The one with the two Elvises. That's me if you look closely.
It's not Elvis.
No, if you look closely. If you look closely.
Right.
The Marilyn Monroe one is most... The two of them are me, and then the other ones are actually Marilyn Monroe. Wow. Yeah, two of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Do you remember where you were when Elvis died? If you were him in
a... I was at Gene Shalit's house. Yeah.
Okay, any other questions?
You mentioned your friend Gabe. Did you ever help out at the school or anything?
I was, I transferred into the school briefly.
Wait. So you were a student at your friend Gabe's high school that he taught at?
Well, yeah, because all the students were like in their 30s. It was not
That's
strange.
That's a weird school. That's a weird school.
It wasn't strange at the time.
So like everyone, they're all from bad parents, bad families, but they're 30 years old.
They were all seemingly about 30 years old. All the kids in the
high
school.
Maybe they just looked older. Maybe that's...
They all seemed quite old. It was weird, you know. There was a nerdy, goofy guy, and then there was a guy...
That Barbarino.
I don't know what you're talking about. John Travolta, though, went to the school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. He turned out okay.
Except for that brief period, he was in a bubble.
That's right.
Yeah. I was in a bubble briefly after I got too much paint on me.
Oh, you were?
At the hospital.
Yeah, they did have to put me in a bubble.
Right.
And
why
people
did
were
they put you in a bubble?
Allowed to touch you?
I
or?
Covered myself in Benjamin Moore primer.
No, we know that part. But why would they put you in a bubble?
I never got a clear answer on that one. Honestly.
different times. Any one more question?
I was just wondering if you ever got the dogs that you walk to go like, ooh, 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 Mr. Kata.
That's a good question. That's a good question. I almost asked that question.
A couple times.
A couple times you got them to do it?
Yeah, yeah, a couple times.
Ooh, ooh, Mr. Cotter.
A couple times. And they would say, how
no, they would, ooh, ooh, kill a bunch of people.
They drop the Mr. Cotter part.
Yeah, yeah.
Just kill people.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I think. Got David Berkowitz to kill all those people. Separate from
why do you admit it now? You had a big fight about it earlier, and now you're saying it like everybody knows David Berkowitz killed all those people.
These were different people. Not that different from the ones you were talking
being
about.
Being specific about who he killed, he killed people. I don't care who he killed.
All right, we agree to disagree.
Okay.
All right.
This was interesting.
Yes, I learned
so much. We're going to get back next week into it, you know, where you were much more influential in terms of society.
Yeah, the Tyne Daly era.
The Tyne Daly era. But I think,
I'm not sure what you guys are going to ask me about next week, but I look forward to it.
Me too, always. But, like we're pulling a tiny thread.
What I like about this is that even the greats have a, you know, a bad part of their life. A downer part of their life.
Yeah.
Where it seems as if the darkness will never lift.
No, I know, but the message here and why I come here tonight is to show people that I'm a survivor. All right, well, thank you, everybody, for this experiment. Jim Biederman, everybody. Jody Lennon. Give yourselves a hand.
You Had to Be There is recorded live at QED in Astoria, Queens every Wednesday at 9 p.m. For tickets and more information, visit QEDAstoria.com. For early access to ad-free episodes, become a Patreon subscriber for just $5 a month. Visit patreon.com/DaveHill.